You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on Leadership. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on Leadership, the 11 Essential Changes Every Leader Must Embrace by John C. Maxwell. As always, let's kick it off with a quote. If you want to be a successful leader, you need to learn to become comfortable with uncertainty and make shifts continually. You need to be flexible and deal with uncertainty without losing focus. Leaders who leadership must be like water. They have to be fluid. Water finds a way, then makes a way. First, it changes with its circumstances. The environment dictates the change. But moving water is also forceful. It first moves around an object, but at the same time it begins moving the object. It can wear down solid rock over time. A seemingly small shift can make a big difference. Simple and obvious it may be, trivial it is not. The truth is this: every advance you make as a leader will require a leader shift that changes the way you think, act, and lead. If you want to be an effective leader, you must leader shift. You cannot be the same, think the same, and act the same if you hope to be successful in a world that does not remain the same. End quote. That is John Maxwell from Leader Shift. This is our fourth note on one of John Maxwell's books. We also have notes on the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, the 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth, and How Successful People Think. John is one of my absolute favorite writers and teachers. His books are ridiculously packed with big ideas, like Jumbo, ridiculously packed with practical wisdom. As we've discussed, he's one of the world's leading authorities on leadership. He sold over 25 million copies of his dozens of books that have been translated into over 50 languages. His organizations have also trained leaders in every single country around the world. This is his most recent book, written after 50 years of leadership. As per the subtitle, John walks us through the 11 essential changes he has made and that he encourages every leader to embrace. Of course, it's packed with big ideas, and of course, I'm excited to share a few of my favorites we can apply to our lives today, so let's jump straight in. First big idea, the 11 essential leader shifts. Quote, I hope you will do whatever you can to search for your calling, and then work with everything you have to fulfill it. And I hope that you will embrace not only this leadership, but all the other ones I've discussed in this book. Remember, every advance you make as a leader will require a leadership that changes the way you think, act, and lead. You can only reach your potential if you embrace these leaderships. Soloist to conductor, the focus shift. Goals to growth, the personal development shift. Perks to price, the cost shift. Pleasing people to challenging people, the relational shift. Maintaining to creating, the abundance shift. Ladder climbing to ladder building, the reproduction shift. Directing to connecting, the communication shift. Team uniformity to team diversity, the improvement shift. Positional authority to moral authority, the influence shift. Trained leaders to transformational leaders, the impact shift, and career to calling, the passion shift. John continues by saying, are there other leader shifts that you'll have the opportunity to make? Probably. I haven't discovered them yet, but if they're out there, I intend to. Why? Because long ago, I made the personal development shift from goals to growth, and I'm still growing as a leader. If you're growing, you will discover them too. When you do, let me and others know about them. The better we can lead and help others lead, the greater and more fulfilling our impact will be. End quote. Now, those are actually the very last words of the book. I'm pretty sure this is the first time in 577 of these notes that we've started at the very end, but it seems like a good idea, so here we are. The 11 essential changes every leader must embrace. Here's the super quick look, then we'll drill into a few of my favorites and see how we can apply John's wisdom to our lives today. The first shift is soloist to conductor, or what he calls the focus shift. Now, can we do great things as a soloist, rocking it on our own? Sure. Will we achieve our leadership potential that way? No. That requires the first leader shift in focus from me to we, acting more like conductors than soloists. The second shift is goals to growth, the personal development shift. Now, goals are great, and growth is better. By making the leader shift from goals to growth, we think bigger and longer term and seize the opportunities to get better. When? Well, you know that story. Today and every day. The third leader shift is perks to price, the cost shift. Are you into leadership for the perks? Well, congrats on the power and prestige and big paychecks. Now it's time to make the shift to being willing to pay the price required to be your absolute best. The fourth leader shift is pleasing people to challenging people, the relational shift. Isn't it nice to have people like you? Sure is. And that's not at the heart of true leadership. We need to be willing to prioritize serving over pleasing, challenging people to be their best. The fifth leader shift is maintaining to creating, the abundance shift. So maintaining prior levels of success is one thing. Constantly pushing ourselves to exit our comfort zones and create the next best version of ourselves and the people / places we lead requires a leader shift to the abundance mindset. The next leader shift is ladder climbing to ladder building, the reproduction shift. Climbing ladders and achieving our own success is great and an important part of the process. We need to prove our competence and ability to succeed. And helping others build their ladders is ultimately what it's all about. Then the next shift is directing to connecting, the communication shift. This shift's all about moving from being authoritative to collaborative, from talking to listening, from top down to side by side, from giving answers to asking questions. We need to make the communication leader shift. Then we move to team uniformity to team diversity, the improvement shift. It's time to celebrate our differences while paradoxically looking for common ground. John tells us if we can connect where we're similar and contribute using our differences, we can accomplish great things. Then we have positional authority to moral authority, the influence shift. Moral authority is the highest form of influence, aka leadership. The best leaders don't lead from a place of positional authority. They lead from a place of moral authority. Their integrity lights the way. Next, leader shift is trained leaders to transformational leaders, the impact shift. This, John says, is the most important. Want to change the world? Become a transformational leader. He says, quote, inspire people to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more. And finally, we have career to calling, the passion shift. John tells us a calling moves us from the center of everything in our world to becoming the channel through which good things come to others. Your destiny is calling. It's time to answer it and make the final leader shift. That is a quick look at the 11 essential leader shifts. Now on to the next big idea, layered learning. Quote, any gardener knows that you can't force a seed to grow faster than nature intended it to. You can't make trees bear good fruit before they're mature. You can't rush the season. Plants need to grow, and though they may grow every day, it will not show every day. It takes a lot of growing to do a little showing. That doesn't mean we shouldn't cultivate growth every day. Small improvements over time make a big difference. Knowledge gives us a layer of learning, increasing with each added layer until it turns into wisdom. It takes years, decades, sometimes a lifetime, for a person to become an overnight success. I like to think of layered learning the way C.S. Lewis talked about learning. He said that learning isn't so much like a train going from one station to the next so that we leave one place and move on to somewhere else. Instead, our growth is similar to that of a tree. As we learn and grow, we add new rings of understanding without giving up the older ones. We build using the past to strengthen us and create something new, end quote. Now that's from our second leader shift, goals to growth, layered learning. That's how John describes the incremental optimization we talk about all the time. What happens when we show up every day committed to and looking for ways to get a little better plus one, plus one, plus one style? Well, as we aggregate and compound those incremental gains over an extended period of time, we get some magic. Which is why John also says, quote, what did Albert Einstein call the greatest mathematical discovery of all time? Not Arabic numerals, not calculus, not the theory of relativity. Compound interest, wealth that grows based on continual reinvestment. And what's the secret to compound interest? Consistency. It never stops growing. Which leads us to the next big idea. But first, how about we count and celebrate those rings on our trees and honor the natural rhythms of nature? Next big idea, consistency, how to pay the price. Quote, one of my favorite examples of the compounding power of consistency occurred in the world of professional baseball in the 1980s and 90s with Cal Ripken Jr. He is in the Hall of Fame, but he isn't there because he was the best hitter, best fielder, or best base stealer. He's there because of consistency. Ripken played in 2,632 consecutive games, the Major League Baseball record by a long shot. Only one other player passed the 2,000 mark, Lou Gehrig with 2,160. For more than 40 years, baseball fans believed Gehrig's record would never be broken. The rarity of that kind of consistency becomes clearer when you recognize that only five other players in Major League history have ever played in more than 1,000 consecutive games. Maybe that's why the game in which Ripken passed Gehrig's record was voted the most memorable in MLB history, ahead of Gehrig's farewell speech in 1939, ahead of Hank Aaron's home run record, and ahead of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier in 1947. Ripken was quick to say that his success didn't come from his being more talented than anyone else. In other words, he showed up, worked hard, played hurt, and gave his best. Every day for 16 years straight. He was the definition of consistency, end quote. Now that's from our third leader shift, Perks to Price, in which we learned the importance of embracing reality and paying the price. First, I grew up admiring Cal Ripken, so I especially appreciate the fact that his record-setting game is considered the most memorable in Major League Baseball history. So, how do we pay the price and layer our learning and reap the benefits of compounded growth? One more time, consistency. I'm typing this the week after our Optimized Coach Class 1 graduation weekend. 500 plus of us did a Spartan race together. Alexandra and I finished with an awesome group that included my favorite elementary school teacher, Mrs. Keenest, and one of our optimizers who is a great grandmother who has, get this, exercised every day for over 4,700 days in a row. You know how long that is? Over 13 years. Nearly as long as Cal Ripken's epic consecutive game streak for those keeping track. We got a link in the note to a picture of us and the crew we finished with at the finish line, but it doesn't quite do her sparkling awesome justice. She is amazing. Again, great grandma crushing a Spartan race. What's your excuse? Join us next year. P.S. Back to paying the price. John quotes the poet Rudyard Kipling, who said, if you don't get what you want, it is either a sign that you did not seriously want it or that you tried to bargain over the price. Which reminds me of Scott Adams and his wisdom from How to Fail at Almost Everything and Still Win Big, where he tells us, quote, one of the best pieces of advice I've ever heard goes something like this. If you want success, figure out the price, then pay it. It sounds trivial and obvious, but if you unpack the idea, it has extraordinary power. He continues by saying, I know a lot of people who wish they were rich or famous or otherwise fabulous. They wish they had yachts and servants and castles, and they wish they could travel the world in their own private jets. But these are mere wishes. Few of these wishful people have decided to have any of the things they wish for. It's a key difference, for once you decide, you take action. Wishing starts in the mind and generally stays there. When you decide to be successful in a big way, it means you acknowledge the price and you're willing to pay it, end quote. Take all of those extrinsic yachts and servants and castles and go intrinsic with it. Decide that you're going to win the biggest game, the eudaimonia game, and live with virtue. Pay the price day in and day out. Next big idea, moral authority, quote. So what is moral authority? Here's my definition. Moral authority is the recognition of a person's leadership influence based on who they are, more than the position they hold. It is attained by authentic living that has built trust, and it is sustained by successful leadership endeavors. It is earned by a lifetime of consistency. Leaders can strive to earn moral authority by the way they live, but only others can grant them moral authority. John continues by saying, moral authority is truly the highest form of leadership influence, and many people recognize it. It comes from possessing good values. It adds value to others. It inspires people. It helps the leader make the right decisions for the right reasons. It marks a life of words and actions that line up. We know when we're in the presence of someone who has moral authority, and we want to follow them. End quote. Now that's from our ninth leader shift, moving from positional authority to moral authority. But you know what? I actually started reading the book here, on page 193 to be precise. When I first got the book, I did my normal thing. Read the back cover, then the inside flaps, then I scanned the table of contents. The phrase moral authority literally jumped off the page and high-fived my daimon. Moral authority. John tells us that it's the highest level of influence. He says, I quote, moral authority has the implicit power to transform what is into what can be. It takes people to higher levels of living and leading. It's inspirational, yet at the same time, it is grounded and credible. It makes leaders better because they desire to do better. Moral authority brings out the best in teams because of the respect team members have for the leaders and the desire team members have to live up to and follow their example. End quote. Now, I read this chapter and asterisked and underlined pretty much the whole thing, writing in the margins, soul force, in all caps, and radiant exemplars, exclamation points, in all caps. I smiled as I thought of our number one goal of our Optimized Coach program, to help our coaches coach themselves first so they can become radiant exemplars of their deepest values. Why? Because that integrity is what leads to the highest form of influence. How do we cultivate our moral authority? Well, John tells us that it's grounded in four things: competence, courage, consistency, and character. We need to be good at what we do and show up with excellence in the small things. That's the essence of competence. Then we need to have the courage to do the right thing. John tells us that leadership authority shrinks or expands with a person's courage. Author and professor C.S. Lewis said, courage is not simply one of the virtues, but the form of every virtue at the testing point. Isn't that brilliant? Then we need that consistency we talked about before, doing well all the time, John says, not just sometimes. All of which leads us to character. John tells us this is a blend of integrity, or the alignment of your values and actions, authenticity, humility, and love. Moral authority, one more time, it's the highest form of influence. How's yours? And what's one thing you know you could do to optimize this a little more today? P.S., remember this, quote, what do you want to do with your leadership? I think every leader wants to make an impact, a difference. It's the reason we get up in the morning. It's why we work with people. It's why we create teams or build organizations. Do you have it in you to do something big? Do you want to change your organization or your community or your culture or your country? How big are your dreams? The bigger they are, the more you need moral authority to accomplish them. End quote. Amen. All of which leads us to the next and final big idea, the clock and the compass. Quote, people who have a sense of calling need to maintain a daily focus without losing their long-term perspective. I think of this as using both the clock and the compass. The clock helps me to stay on track with what I'm doing today. It encourages me to invest in my daily activities and to keep appointments. It allows me to fulfill the mission of the moment. The compass helps me to stay on track with my destiny. It allows me to focus on the vision. It helps me know where I'm going. I maintain my overall values. I keep the vision before me. It allows me to fulfill the mission of my calling. End quote. Now that's from the final chapter on our final leader shift, career to calling. We talked about the shift from job to career to calling in our notes on Martin Seligman's Authentic Happiness, where he tells us, I quote, the good life consists in deriving happiness by using your signature strengths every day in the main realms of living. The meaningful life adds one more component, using these same strengths to forward knowledge, power, or goodness. John gives us some tips on how to discover and live our calling, including, I quote, I like the advice of author, philosopher, and civil rights leader Howard Thurman, who said, "Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive." Here's to coming alive, living our callings, cultivating moral authority in service to the world consistently today. That is a quick look at Leadership, the 11 Essential Changes Every Leader Must Embrace, John C. Maxwell. Let's enjoy some great quotes from the sidebar, then we'll wrap it up. The very, 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 very first quote on the very, very, very first page of the book is this. Thomas Edgley, change or die. Short and sweet is hard to beat. John tells us, how does a leader do more than just hang on and survive in such an environment? The key is to learn how to continually make leader shifts. What is a leader shift? It is an ability and willingness to make a leadership change that will positively enhance organizational and personal growth. John tells us, as Mother Teresa said, yesterday is gone. Tomorrow has not yet come. We have only today. Let us begin. That is Module 3 in the Mastery Series and Coach Program, Carpe Diem. Today is the day. Back to John. He tells us baseball great Babe Ruth is rumored to have said, yesterday's home run doesn't win today's game. Isn't that fantastic? It's a good reminder to focus on today. What we did in the past may look good on a resume, but it won't help us win today. One more time. Carpe Diem. Seize the day. Today is the day. To move from theory to practice to mastery, John tells us, I love his phrase, live on the other side of yes. I believe what he's talking about is seizing opportunities. When we do that, we're like Lori Greiner, who wrote, dear optimist, pessimist, and realist, while you guys were busy arguing about the glass of water, I drank it. Sincerely, the opportunist. How great is that? Dear optimist, pessimist, and realist. While you guys were busy arguing about the glass of water, I drank it. Sincerely, the opportunist. Got to know an opportunity when you see it and seize it. John tells us, Benjamin Franklin said, empty the coins of your purse into your mind, and your mind will fill your purse with coins. What a great way to think about it. Be willing to invest in yourself, John says. He also says, business magnate and philanthropist Andrew Carnegie said, it marks a big step in your development when you come to realize that other people can help you do a better job than you could have done. It's funny because I just had that experience at our graduation weekend. 600 of us in LA. Unbelievable experience. Wonderfully produced. We got some great feedback from it. And I was not involved in the planning at all. The team rocked it. Thank you. Well done. Michael, Patrick, Kalman, Yana, Charlie, Zach, Cheney, Paulina, our entire team was there, and crushing it. Back to John, who tells us, Ralph Waldo Emerson said, our chief want in life is somebody who shall make us do what we can. Peter Marshall said, a different world cannot be built by indifferent people. John tells us, God gave me a dream bigger than myself. It was so intimidating that I had only two choices, give up or get help. And finally, John tells us, my desire is that my one sentence would say, he still lives on in this world. My hope is that what I taught leaders will be woven into their lives and continue to help others after I'm dead and gone. The goal in life is not to live on forever, but to create something that does. Leadership, John Maxwell, anything jump out and land? How can you take that and move from theory to practice to mastery a little more today? Get on that. Here's to making leadership, cultivating the moral authority, living our callings in service to the world consistently today.
We hope you enjoyed this philosopher's note. Please go to optimize.me to download more.